Morgan Show. Here's the Henry Morgan Show with Arnold Fang, Fran Warren, Kurt Chilton, Milton Kadem's orchestra, and me, Ben Grauer. And here's the star of the Henry Morgan Show standing on his favorite corner in front of the cigar store.
Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan. Ladies and gentlemen of the United States, because of the water shortage here in the East, all day today, the people of New York City agreed not to bathe nor shave. Well, I wish you could see our studio audience. Didn't say you had to wear old clothes, you know. Could have combed your hair or a clean shirt. Did you know that more babies were born in this country last year than ever before? It's true. And it's a very interesting reason. More parents. Now, I happen to be an authority on the care of babies, and I'd like to give you parents a couple of hints. First, about the baby's schedule, it should be convenient for the parent, and I've drawn up a schedule for the day that is very convenient and thoroughly comfortable. Now, 5:30 a.m., baby wakes up. 5:31, baby louder awake. 5:32, put pillow over your head. 5:33, wake up husband. Well, it's his turn anyway. 5:34, change baby. 5:35, change baby. 5:36, oh well. 6 o'clock, make baby's formula. Now, it's important to make sure that the mixture is at body temperature. Now, you can test this by pouring a little on your husband. If he wakes up, too hot. 6:10 a.m., offer a bottle of the carefully prepared formula to the baby. 6:11, pick up broken bottle and mop up formula from the floor. Now, mother, you must remember that the child doesn't know what it's doing, so it's useless to punish him. 6:12, punch husband in the nose. 6:13, prepare another bottle. Fix husband's breakfast. Burp baby. Wake up husband. Change baby. Count laundry. Answer doorbell. Wake up husband. Straight coat. Change baby. 7:15, go home to mother. So you see, what, one mother in the audience? I'm a bachelor. But you can see from this that a mother's schedule for taking care of her baby can really be quite comfortable and convenient for you, providing you're the father. Oh, excuse me, providing you're the father was the end of that thought. Excuse me, because my friend Gerard. Hello, Gerard.
Hiya.
Say, Gerard, you look all bruised. What's happened to you?
I was in a terrible fight.
No kidding. With whom?
Santa Claus.
What?
In front of Macy's.
What are you talking about?
I'm coming out of Macy's from doing some Christmas shopping, see? So the spit fat Santa Claus asked me to throw a dime in his pot. I throw a quarter in, and I'm waiting.
For what?
For my change.
Oh, well, what did Santa say when you asked him for the change?
Out loud, he keeps saying, thank you, sir.
Yeah?
And under his breath, he says, scram, you little bum.
Santa Claus? Did he finally give you your money?
Not that tightwad.
What do you mean, tightwad?
Hank, you know how big and fat he is.
Yeah?
Money belt.
Don't be silly. That jolly old Santa Claus wears a money belt.
Hank.
Yeah?
What do you think makes him so jolly?
Oh, that's just nonsense.
That jingling you hear ain't sleigh bells, you know.
Look, did he give you your 15 cents?
I keep asking him, but he don't answer.
What's he do?
He waves his beard in my face and he sings jingle bells at me.
So?
So finally, I reach into the pot to get my own change.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, I hear a ringing in my ears.
What was that?
Santa was hitting me over the head with his brass bell.
With a hurting.
And he keeps singing, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Gee, that must have hurt.
Two whole choruses. Finally, I get mad.
I don't blame you.
I jump up and I start to rip off his beard. You should have heard him scream.
Why?
It was his real beard.
You know something? You could have gotten into trouble.
Could have, he said. A little kid is standing there watching.
Did he say anything?
No.
Good.
He just bites me in the leg.
What did Santa Claus do?
He starts singing jingle bells again, so I run.
Right, you're absolutely right.
Get around a corner, and I start thinking about how the kid felt and about the guy's beard being real and everything.
No.
Well, I don't want to take any chances. I could be wrong.
No.
So I go back and I put another quarter in the pot.
That's nice.
And then I ask him to bring me a sled.
Well, I hope you get it, Gerard. See you around.
Likewise.
I wonder if you were doing that too dramatically. Egad, 'tis late. I was due at my broadcast an eon ago. Taxi, haste, haste. You again, the lady cab driver.
So what do you want? I should drive side saddle?
Well, no, I was just a little surprised.
Why do you think I drive a taxi? So I can go to school during the day.
Really? What are you learning?
How to drive.
A cab driver who can't drive? I never heard of such a thing.
I know. I'm the only cab driver in New York who's willing to admit it.
I don't understand how you ever passed your driver's test.
Who passed?
Oh. Tell me, have you had any accidents?
Just one.
Well, that's not bad.
Since lunchtime.
Well, what happened?
I hit a pigeon.
Pigeon? How could you hit a pigeon?
Wasn't easy. I had to go a foot off the ground to get him.
As a lady taxi driver, I guess you've had a lot of experiences.
Yeah, like last night, I picked up two sailors.
They got into the cab.
Who said anything about a cab? I was off duty.
You know, you kill me. One way or the other, you will.
Hey, Mac, you mind if I smoke?
No, go right ahead.
You mind? Tell me.
Quite all right.
It's okay, you know. I don't have to smoke.
No, go ahead.
You're not just saying that.
No, really.
All right, I won't smoke.
All right. Don't smoke.
Why, does smoke bother you?
No, I don't care. Smoke, don't smoke. Makes no difference to me. Do you understand? I don't care.
You don't care I don't, or you don't care I do?
Lady, go ahead and smoke.
Okay. Mind if I ask you something?
What?
Got a cigarette.
Look, driver, will you hurry?
Okay, okay. But next week you'll feel a lot safer in my cab.
Why, is that when you finish your driving course?
No, next week I'll be covered by insurance.
Good evening, anybody. Fran Warren is going to sing Irving Berlin's White Christmas. The sentiment will be heartily endorsed by people who hope to get skis or sleds, snowshoes, toboggans for Christmas, or mayhap dote on the erection of snowmen in igloos. White Christmas. Mandu.
Christmas be
Fran Warren. This is Ben Grauer speaking. As you probably know, school teachers nowadays spend a lot of time helping youngsters to express themselves freely and to adjust to each other.
True.
And this evening, we've called a meeting of the parents of the 8-year-old class so that you can learn for yourselves how your children are progressing. And here is Mr. Morgan, teacher of the advanced 8-year-olds. Morgan?
Yes. Now, this year we have a wonderful group of boys and girls. Really a wonderful group of both the boys and the girls. Especially girls. And the boys. Now, you see, parents, children of 8 are in a very difficult period in their lives. They're neither 7 nor 9. And, oh, that's so important. Now, this year, our group decided on a project for the whole year, the Indians. We are studying everything in relation to the Indians. If you look at that wall, you'll notice the drawings of corn and pumpkins and wigwams and squaws, all things which Indians loved so very much. A question.
Did the children draw those?
No. Now, take little Mary Franklin. Little Mary loved Indians. Why would you believe it? Little Mary never says anything all day except ugh. All day. Question?
Are the children learning any reading or spelling or things like that?
About reading, you see, we are studying the Indians, and since the Indians didn't know how to read, well, naturally. Question?
I'm worried about Harold not being able to add at all.
But, my dear Mrs. Cooper, he's excellent in buttoning. There's an old Indian song which we translated, and we, the children and I, sing to each other. The children sing, "See the little birdie," and I reply, "See the little birdie," and then they sing, "What is he?" and I sing, "What is he?" You'd be surprised at some of the answers I get. Oh, and that is so important. So, now, in conclusion, parents, the main thing is that the children are learning to live together like normal, healthy, happy American Indians. And yes, they have learned to live together, and my advice to you, parents, is that you arrange for them to live together somewhere. Oh, it's so important. Thank you very much.
A few moments ago, Fran Warren paid tribute to snow. Now we make a slight bow in the direction of ice. With Bernie Green's arrangement of the Skater's Waltz, played by Milton Cadams and the orchestra, the trombone virtuoso is Abe Perlstein. Thank you.
You know, Ben,
What, Henry?
Oh, it's not, you know, I was supposed to say, Ben, it's a question. Hey, Ben.
Yeah?
Would you say that, we've got a lot of children stuff here. Would you say that children who listen to this program really learn anything?
I think they do.
They do?
Yes, I think they learn that they can listen to this program and watch television at the same time.
true. But, Ben, I have an idea for how kids can learn something from this program. We ought to do a kid's quiz.
So, would you introduce your
fire? That plays here.
Oh-ho!
Ladies and gentlemen, here is that new and exciting quiz program with its panel of bright youngsters, the Quest Pets. And here he is, the kid's favorite quiz master, Uncle Joe Morgan.
Good afternoon, kitties, and all you mommies and poppies of kitties. Once again, the makers of the delicious new dog food, Red Nose, bring you the Quest Pet. Say, kids, have you tried Red Nose dog food for your dog? Well, you try it for him, and when he sees you eating it, he'll want some too. Yes, our own Red Nose dog here on this program loves it, don't you, Fido? Yes, sir. Look, I'll give Fido a handful right now. Here, Fido. Just the dog food, Fido, not the hand, not the hand. And now it's time to introduce our panel of young experts. Susan Joel, let's start with you.
My name is Susan Joel Patterson, and I'm three, and I'm 3.5 years old, and I'm in the third grade, and she has My name is Susan Joel Patterson.
Susie, you know the school you go to. Now let's tell the folks, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
My name is Susan Joel Patterson.
Now, Susie, just the school.
Go to TS 58. I
want to
go home.
Well, let's get on to our other bright little monster youngsters. Let's see. Joel?
My name is Joel Lorman, and I'm 7 years old, and I'm in 3A.
What school, Joel?
University of Pennsylvania.
Well, let's get on to our next little expert, Donald.
My name is Donald Washburn, and I'm 12 years old, and I go to the Jackson School for Boys.
Is that a grammar school, or is that a high school?
It's a reform school.
I see.
That wasn't my father who brought me here, you know. You want to know what I'm in for?
No, we don't have to.
I ain't afraid to talk. I'll beat this rap.
Yes, well.
It was a frame, and everybody knows it. Are you listening, Mr. D.A.? Blame it on society.
Donald, the man who is not your father who brought you here is looking at you. Now let's introduce our last little expert, and she's the youngest of them all. Little Ruthie Gruskin. Ruthie? Don't gum the microphone, Ruthie. You have a teething ring, you know. Well, there you have our panel of Quest Pets for today. Now, on to our first question. The first question is, what is the capital of Ethiopia? Ruthie, I see you have your little hand up. Do you know the capital of Ethiopia?
Addis Ababa.
Addis Ababa. Very good, Ruthie.
Addis Ababa.
Yes, that was right, Ruthie. Now...
Addis Ababa.
Yes, you said that, Lucy. Lucy. Fido. Now, kids, we're all acquainted with electricity and the distribution of lumen...
May I see the word, Uncle Joe?
Yes, it's this word right here.
Luminosity.
Show off. Now, the question is, are all the parts of the visible light given out by the discharge traversed by the same current? Hands, anyone? Susie.
My name is Susan Joe Parker.
Yes. Thank you, Susie. Anyone else?
Well, is ionization present?
Anyone else?
Uncle Joe, is ionization present?
Anyone else?
Uncle Joe, I can't answer the question unless you tell me. Is the radiation in this case a necessary consequence of ionization?
That's right, Joe. Ask questions, that's the way we learn. Now, let's get on.
But, Uncle Joe, if there's ionization...
Joe, shut up.
But does the light come from energized electrons?
Joe?
Or from ionized molecules?
Fido? Now we'll have to go on. Oh, here's a goodie. Ruthie, you have your toe in your mouth again. Icky poo. Now here's the question, kids. I'm going to give you one word from a famous quotation, and then you're to complete the quotation for me. All righty. What famous quotation does the word them come from? The word is them.
You mean the word is they?
No, Susan, them. Where does the word them come from?
My name is Susan Joe.
Baby Ruthie, do you know where them comes from? No, but that was close. Anybody else? Donald.
I want to go back to the farm store.
Now, Donald.
Put me in solitary. Give me the cold hose. Send me on the rock pail, but let me out of here.
Donald, please. The man who's not your father has his hand in his pocket. Who can answer the question? The word them comes from what famous quotation?
Oh, I suppose I'll have to answer this one, too.
Oh, good for you, Joel, you little... good for you. What's the answer?
The word them comes from Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 1. The complete quotation is, to be or not to be. That is the question. For there is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows...
So where's the word already?
Outrageous fortune.
Well?
Yes, Joel, well?
Or to take arms against a sea of trouble and by opposing end them.
Hooray.
Don't be so smart, Donald. You couldn't answer that question.
So neither could you.
True, I couldn't. Well, let's get on. Now, Quiz Fest, I'm going to imitate a number of characters, fictitious and real, and you're to tell me who you think they are. Won't that be fun?
Phew.
Donald, how'd you ever get on this program, anyway?
You know.
All right, well, we were...
And I was in cold cash, too.
Never mind about that.
Did you hear that, Mr. D.A.? And there's a couple of other things I could tell you. I can name names.
Donald, Fido is looking at you. Now, let's see if you can tell this character that I'm portraying. This is a very popular character this time of year, and he sounds like this. Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas! Ho, ho, ho! Know who that is, Donald?
Lucky Luciano. Well, I don't know. I kind of just like him. Of course, I ain't spoke to him for a long time.
Yes. Anybody else? Susie, what is the name of that character I just imitated?
Name?
Yes, the name.
My name is Susan Jeff.
No, not your name. Now listen again. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Now, somebody's got enough. I'll give you a hint. Donald, if you're very good, he's the jolly fellow who brings you something for Christmas. What would you like for Christmas?
A lawyer.
I'll stuff one in your stocking. Now, Quiz Fest, here's another imitation.
See if you can tell me what famous radio character this is. A famous radio character, and he sounds like this.
Well, Portland. Gee whiz.
Who's that?
Lucky Luciano.
No, that character was Fred Allen.
Is that the way he talks?
Yes.
Sounds just like Lucky Luciano.
Well, good. Now, kids, for our problem corner, each week, you know, we try and solve the problems that other little boys and girls send into us. And here's a problem from little Emily Paley, and she has quite a problem. She writes, I want a new bicycle for Christmas. How can I get my daddy to buy me one? Well, kids, any ideas?
Well, I think you should hire a private detective and have the old man tailed. Get something on him, you know what I mean?
Yes?
I think she should abandon the frivolous idea of a bicycle and ask for something useful. A chemistry set, perhaps, or a book of poetry. A book of poetry, a book of poetry.
Donald, don't you dare hit Joel.
Violence is the refuge of the ignorant. In quod signum desperandum, I always say.
All right. Hit Joel. Now then, here's a letter sent in by a little girl named Hazel Carter, and she writes, I've been going with a married man for 2 years, and well, it's evidently a mistake, children.
Oh, I read the rest of it.
I think not.
I go on.
You wouldn't understand it. It's a bit over your innocent little head.
What's the matter? The guy's wife find out.
What's the matter, Miss Hope?
This unfortunate girl is obviously the victim of an unscrupulous wrench.
Yes, well...
This dame needs a mouthpiece.
Yes, of course.
Let it get divorced.
The eternal triangle.
Yes, friends, this begins to the first test. Funny, when I said we should have chaos at the end, I didn't mean that kind of chaos. I meant the other kind of chaos. Well, Morgan will be on the same corner in front of the cigar store again next week at the same time. In other words, thank you and good night. The Henry Morgan Show with Arnold Stang, Fran Warren, Craig Felton, Dinah Rayburn, Brad Barker, Ivan Curry, and Milton Tatum's in the orchestra. Morgan himself will be back in this corner in front of the cigar store next week at the same time. The Henry Morgan Show is produced by Kenneth McGregor. This is Ben Grauer speaking.
What's on NBC tomorrow? If Christmas still seems a long way, here's the way to catch up with the holiday. Set your dial for NBC tomorrow morning and hear the Fred Waring Show. Yes, you'll catch the Christmas spirit listening to your favorite Christmas carols, a story about little Orly and all the good cheer of the Pennsylvanians. Remember, it's tomorrow morning, the Fred Waring Show on NBC. Next, General Marshall on We the People over most of these same NBC stations.